And welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey, Austin Bechtold in for the guys. Thanks so much for finding us. First 3 hours flew by. They always do. This show goes so fast. Start of our final hour together. Thank you so much for tuning us in. Let's go out to the fan hotline to talk a little Buccos with Bob Walk. The Pirates in a very interesting place. Sweeping the Tigers, like Limit said. Can't really make heads or tails of it, but we'll try to do our best. Bob, this team has been on the extreme end of outcomes. They've swept and they've been swept. How do you sort of explain what the results have been of late? Can you?
I don't think you can. That's a little unexplainable. They've been doing. And I think back at the last homestand and how things looked like they were, really starting to click, doing some good things on offense, and then the road trip turned out to be kind of a disaster, and now you come back and a team like the White Sox, one of the worst two or three teams in all of baseball, they just kicked our rear for three games. I mean, they didn't just come in and sweep, but I mean, they were just dominated all three games. And then you're like, wow, we are playing the worst of, baseball of the season. It felt like at that point. And you got the Tigers coming in with the best record and of anybody. And, we play all our best baseball against those guys and sweep them. So it's a little tough to come up with something. We can at times have some pretty dominating pitching, obviously, especially on Skeens days. And that maybe is the reason why we can, look so good and it didn't, 3 or 4 days later, it totally changes. So, actually one way or the other. But it probably is because of the fact that we can have some pretty dominating pitching at times. And that would be the only reason I could come up with that really, I think, makes any sense.
I don't think this is an explanation for why they've struggled and been good at various times, Bob, but I do think it's notable in the Tigers series what they got from Spencer Horwitz. And, a really good series. It feels like they've just needed somebody to kind of step up in an unexpected spot, like somebody to give them a little bit of a jolt, lengthen that lineup, kind of ease the strain on some of the main guys. Just how important maybe is that in your mind, and what did you think about what Horwitz did in the Tigers series?
Well, yeah, I think that's why he was acquired in the offseason. That you needed to, he and Pham both were, two acquisitions that were going to get a lot of playing time that you hope to improve the offense with. Of course, Horwitz was hurt, and then Pham got off to a very poor start. He wasn't seeing the ball well. His prescription for his contacts, I think he was having a lot of trouble finding the right thing, and it took a while, but then he started clicking a little bit, and Horwitz just having a phenomenal series against the Tigers. And I think the two of those guys, not having them, at least not having Pham play up to his capabilities early, and then Horwitz really not having him at all, and just kind of feeling his way along here, when he gets back, some good games, some bad games, now that he's on the team and healthy. I think that it points out, what we've talked about before, that if we could just have an average type offense, that we would win quite a few more games than we lose because our pitching is that well. And so you do get somebody like Horwitz get hot, and it has a big effect. It stands out because that's, why I think everybody would agree with this, why we have the record we have, is because we have not had any kind of consistent offense this year. And when you do get it, even if it's only for a three-game series, it really, you reap the benefits of it.
Pomp and Joe Show, Jason Mackey filling in for the guys. We're chatting with Pirates broadcaster, former Pirates pitcher Bob Walk. Bob, I wanted to ask you about Mitch Keller, and not so much the trade stuff that is swirling around him. Obviously, I don't think any of us truly know at this point, but what has he done so well this season and prior that has made him such an attractive option?
Well, I think he's prior seasons, you just look at, how he's pitched, say, before the All-Star game, and it's been fantastic. He earned that long-term contract that he got by how well he pitched. Now the last third of the seasons, haven't looked too good. And I think this year he really thought about that. You know, he's like 2 years in a row now. I've really gone downhill at the end, the last couple months of the season. What can I do differently? And I know that he's kind of backed off a little bit on the training, maybe trying to, save a little bit for the last part of the year. But, as he's gotten older, he just learns more and more about himself and more about pitching. Early on, first couple years, he had great stuff, but I don't think he really knew what kind of a pitcher he wanted to be. Sinker baller, power guy upstairs, slider guy, curveball guy. It was always changing, it seemed like, every few games. And when he started to find out who he was and what he needed to do to get hitters out, which is not unusual for young guys. The unusual guys are guys like Skeens that hit the ground running. But, I think Keller took more of the normal path, where it took him a couple years to find out who he is and what he needed to do up here. And then once he did that, he started pitching real well. And I think he's used that same strategy now to try and figure out, okay, I get off to a good start through the All-Star game. I'm doing well. I even made the All-Star team once. What do I need to do now to take it through the entire season? And I think he's kind of got that figured out. What kind of shape does he need to come to spring training in? And what does he need to do during the season not to wear his body down and take care of it? And it looks like he's got that figured out. Now we got two more months to go. It's just really in that hot part of the year right now. So we'll see if it really does work. But so far, I think he's looking pretty good as far as making some changes and taking his good work later into the season.
Bob, I remember a couple of years ago, down the stretch in 2023, the Pirates had two traditional starting pitchers, and it was Mitch Keller and it was Johan Oviedo. It was kind of fun covering the team there, and then you basically had three bullpen games. It was a wild succession of pitchers, but Oviedo's working his way back through five innings in Altoona yesterday. It's a shame he's had this many injury issues, but what do you think about him? What sort of impact can he have at the major league level? I know me personally, it's somebody I'm really excited to see again. I think he can be an excellent pitcher. Just what sort of boost can Johan Oviedo give the Pirates whenever he gets up here?
Well, it depends on who he is when he gets up here. If he's the guy that we last saw, he'll be one of the top guys in our rotation, because that's who he was when we last saw him in that rotation. There's something happened there toward the end that during the offseason, he ended up having to have the surgery, and now he's been out all this time, ready to come back now. I don't really know what to expect. He was a big, strong, power-type guy before. I'm hoping we see that again. It'll be, about what kind of command does he have. I'm hoping the stuff is the same. How about his, mental outlook? Will he be tentative of, as far as, cutting loose? And there's some questions that have to be answered, but the only way that they'll be answered is when we see him up here and they give him the ball and say, okay, go out there for 70 pitches. Okay, now go out there for 100 pitches. And if that happens at some time before the end of the season, which I hope, then you know exactly what you have for next year, which really is what I think everybody's looking at this point. You're looking toward next season and what we need to do to change from what happened this year, the record being what it is.
Hey, Bob, with the trade deadline coming up, I know it was different when you played, but what's that like inside of a major league clubhouse? Like, does it get talked about? Do people laugh about it? What's your perspective? I mean, I can talk about a media perspective and speculation and how that's changed, but as a player, has that changed over the years? Just how nerve-wracking is this time of year for players?
Well, from the outside looking in, I guess it's changed, because when I was playing, it wasn't nerve-wracking. It was just a possibility, something that could happen. Some guys were hoping for it, looking forward to maybe getting traded. They didn't like the situation, didn't like the direction where the team was going. They wanted to move on. Other guys, thought, okay, I'm doing fine right where I'm at. I'm happy. I like the city. I like being here. I don't want to be traded there. You know, everybody's got a different outlook at it. But there wasn't really a whole lot of discussion and talk, you know, maybe the day of the trade line. I think there was more talk about, you know, looking at the newspaper and seeing who got traded somewhere else, instead of just, you know, on your own team. But I think that's probably different nowadays, at least from the outside looking in, from a media perspective. It appears that there is a lot of the talk and discussion, you know, about it. I don't know if maybe the agents have become much more involved in this thing or what, but yeah, I hear, you know, oh, this guy's nervous. And over the years, I've actually heard that, there's some people have said that, this guy's poor play is recently is because he's worried about being traded. I mean, I have actually heard people say that. So,
yeah.
And nowadays, I don't know, possibly it is nerve wracking down there, but, if you go back 30, 40 years ago, it was just part of the game that you didn't think anything of, because it was exactly that, part of the game. You know, you thought of it like, well, is it going to rain tonight or, that sort of thing. You know, the thing, too, that's odd about that is that back then you had way more people that actually lived in the city they played. Nowadays, it's fairly rare, unless you were, you know, happen to be like a Bednar in his your hometown. You don't get that very much anymore, where guys will, you know, move to the city where they're playing and buy their kids in school and that sort of thing. It's, normally most players live somewhere else, and you know, the summertime, wherever they are, is just looked at as being a temporary thing, which to me would make the threat of being traded even much less important to you, because you're in a certain spot on a temporary basis anyway.
Last thing I got for you, Bob, you going up to Cooperstown this weekend, or are you in Pittsburgh?
No, I'm going to be staying here and doing the games at the ballpark.
Okay.
Last year I went up to the Cooperstown, but this year I'm just going to stay around here. I checked that box and had a good time up there, but somebody else can make the trek this year.
Well, that'll be me. That'll be me. So
okay. All right. Well, enjoy your time up there then, and try to find a shady spot to stand in. That's my only advice.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be hot. All right, man. Take care. Pleasure as always. Thanks, Bob.
No problem. We'll see you later on.
All right, take care.
Have fun up in New York.
Yes, I will do. All right. Good stuff from Bob Walk there. As always, he joins us every Friday at 1 o'clock. Joins us on the Fan Hotline. That's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Text Line, the last of our lines, is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I want to get into some more Pirates trade deadline thoughts. I've been hanging on to them, as well as what things could look like on the other side of this. Rich in Forest Hills has been hanging on a long time. I don't know whether he wants to talk about the Pirates or the Steelers, but let's get to that. Anybody else with thoughts on the topic, hit me up at 412-928-9370. Let's go out to the phones. Rich, what's going on? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Jason. I usually call you on the weekends. Don't usually get a chance during the week. But since I was on a call or on hold for a while, I had a chance to get some data to support what I'm going to tell you. It's no mystery why Bubba Chandler hasn't been called up yet. Since June 11th, he's had, I think, 9 or 10 starts. And over that period of time, he's basically averaging 20 pitches an inning. What's keeping him down is pitch efficiency. And his last start the other day was a good one, but it's been a good one, a bad one, a good one, a bad one. He's had a couple of starts where he went three innings and threw 50, 60 pitches. So that's the reason he's not here. And they've been pretty consistent with that. And that's actually pretty consistent across major leagues. If he comes up to the major leagues and it's taking him 20 pitches to get out of an inning in AAA ball, he's not going to last two or three innings. And they just don't want that for him. He'll turn into a middle reliever. So they're trying to get that squared away. And the other point I wanted to make about the – you were just talking to Walkie about the schizophrenic Pirates. You know, they caught the Mets. They caught the Phillies. They caught the Tigers all when they came to town. They were all those teams were in a funk. As a matter of fact, Detroit's continuing to lose. So I think that explains part of it. I don't think the explanation is entirely on the Pirates. You know, the difference between a good team and a bad team is not substantial in Major League Baseball, which is the crime of the nutting regime. The difference between a bad team and a great team is humongous. Okay, so the bad Pirates are never going to compete with the Dodgers, in my opinion. But the bad Pirates are going to compete with the good teams. And I put the Mets and the Cardinals and even the Tigers, I think, are probably not playing or not as good as what they look like on paper. But those are just some of my observations here.
All right. Thanks very much, Rich. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I get it with Chandler. I don't think that I understand why it hasn't happened. What I'm saying, it needs to happen soon. What I'm saying is, like, August and September should be an opportunity for Bubba Chandler to come up here and get meaningful reps. You can also make the argument their rotation's been pretty good, and I just wouldn't want to disrupt it. That's fine. The Pirates have had a lot of issues this season, and pitching really isn't one of them. I wouldn't mess with Bubba Chandler. I'm not going to put him in a relief role. I guess I was just kind of asking in general. You know, May, we're talking about him coming up here, and it's just been an interesting ride. You know, obviously, there was a stretch there where he did not pitch well at all. It wasn't even good start, bad start. It was a lot of bad starts. I understand you're not going to bring him up here at that point. Shoot, I remember during that time, I was talking about that it was on them. Like, it almost, his results looked like he was pouting, that he expected to be up here, and it was a flaw in their development that they didn't bring him up here. And I don't know if that's reality or not, but it was, disappointing. You want to see one of their top prospects up here, and you want to see this season be worth something, because it otherwise hasn't. And you want to see them orient what they're doing toward 2026. And that's why I think a lot of people get upset with the Pirates, and justifiably so, because you're looking at, okay, how does this fix? You know, there's a ticking clock with Paul Skeens and how long the Pirates are going to have Paul Skeens. I mean, I'd like to see them have more urgency right now. They should have more urgency right now. I've said this 1,000 times before. I don't understand why, one, I would have made the move in the offseason with Charrington. Two, you hang on with the manager for as long as you do, and then when you do make the move with the manager, you don't make the move with the general manager. You allow him to oversee the draft, then the trade deadline. If you look at this and they don't sign Angel Cervantes, and you've basically frittered away a second-round pick and taken a $2 million penalty, that's a problem. And you let a former GM, or what would be a former GM, who's had a checkered history in the draft, and with a lot of these things, you let him oversee another draft, and if that's a mistake, that's not good. Clearly can't continue to happen. And now we're looking at the trade deadline, and do they do enough to constitute or reconstitute themselves for 2026? And that can bring me back to the point that I wanted to make and sort of wrap all this up. Like, they can't do that much. They shouldn't do that much. It shouldn't be O'Neill Cruz. It shouldn't be David Bednar, Mitch Keller, Dennis Santana. If your goal is to win now, if your goal is to win with Paul Skeens, you're not a better team for next year if you trade your best players. And yes, you need to get a bat. You need to get a bat. That is completely fair. They need to do that this offseason. Or maybe you can say they need to do it at the deadline, but anybody who is going to acquire help at the deadline, they're going to be acquiring help and paying a price for it because they think that they can compete. Are they going to trade one of their best pieces to you? Probably not. if you're going to make that deal, you're going to make it with a blank slate in the offseason. That's why I don't understand. And I could be proven wrong here, but I think there's some holes to poke in a potential Mitch Keller deal, in addition to the fact that I don't think Ben Cherington is going to be allowed to make the deal. But think about what that other team would be, right? Some of the teams that they're connected to Mitch Keller. Just the ones that I've read, like the Cubs have been out there, the Yankees have been out there. I think the Blue Jays have been out there. There's been quite a few. He's one of the more attractive pitchers on the market. But they're getting calls from teams that are competing with something. Those teams might be willing to give up a prospect in AAA. Is it anybody who's made it onto the Major League Club and affecting the Major League Club this year? No, probably not. And so to a degree, you're taking a flyer. In the offseason, that eases. A team's not competing for something. You can have a discussion about a player on the Major League roster. And that's what the Pirates should be doing. Now, I'm not even a huge fan of trading Mitch Keller in the first place because you're removing your number two starting pitcher. If the Pirates want to compete, they should keep all the Major League pitching they possibly have. I would trade from your area of strength. Go sell somebody on Hunter Barco. Go sell somebody on Mike Burrows or Thomas Harrington, even a Braxton Ashcraft, something like that. I'd even listen to calls on Bubba Chandler. I wouldn't want to do it. I'd have to be absolutely blown away. I want Bubba Chandler a part of this rotation, but I have to find a bat. And you're going to have to trade pitching to find a bat. Waiting also buys me time with the general manager. That's another part of this that I just can't understand. The general manager has failed repeatedly to trade pitching for offense. I wrote this stat in a column a little while ago. Ben Cherington has made something like 13 or 14 trades within a week of the trade deadline. It's brought back 8 bats that have reached the major league level. Those hitters have accumulated a grand total of 0.3 wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference. That has not equaled improving your major league roster by trading pitching. It's the exact opposite. I'm not going to do it again. It's the same reason why the O'Neill Cruz trade talk is silly. By the way, now this is just a complete, I don't know, thought exercise. That's the term I was looking for. Can you imagine O'Neill Cruz in center field next to Aaron Judge? By the way, if the Yankees would go pony up and overpay the heck out of a deal with the Pirates. I mean, the Pirates are listening. They're not going to trade O'Neill Cruz. It makes zero sense. We're talking about improving the offense. It doesn't happen. But O'Neill Cruz next to Aaron Judge would be absolutely hilarious. I understand why teams are calling. The Pirates can't trade him. Come on. They shouldn't trade many at all. It should be Heaney, Pham, Ferguson, Kiner Falefa. And that's probably it with the Frazier trade. I don't understand the idea of they have to trade a whole bunch. It doesn't help them in 2026. And whether they're right or not, I don't think they should be kicking the can down the road. I don't think they want to kick the can further down the road. They should want to compete now. Greg in Youngstown wants to talk about Pirates trades. You're on the Fan. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's going on? I agree. I'm not trading anyone. I don't want to see the Yankees win another World Series or the Dodgers. You know what? Screw them. Just keep your guys. I don't even care about even trading Pham. Season's over anyway. I don't want to see another championship in L.A. or New York or one of these big cities. Just we're not getting anything anyway, so who cares? I'm getting a single-A player, a double-A player. For what? Just to fill a space, you know? And don't trade Cowler. If they trade Cowler, that just tells you this ownership doesn't care about winning.
Yeah, as I was explaining, Greg, I don't understand how you can make a trade with Keller and explain that it's oriented. Like that would reek to me as a salary dump, and I don't like that. I don't see how the trade could come back in the middle of a season where you're going to get a guy who's going to help you in the way that you need.
Yeah, it's time to win next year. It's time to keep some of these guys, build upon the guys like we all talk about, and let's try to win something for once in the next 2 years. If they don't do this, I don't know what patience I have to watch this team. Because this is our best opportunity, like we all say with schemes. So keep Keller and keep your guys and just build on with a couple more guys and keep your bull. I want to see Bednar in the team still. He wants a team friendly contract. Give it to him, you know, and let's just try to win.
Greg, I'm scared to ask this. Is this you with patience?
I have patience. I mean, what else do we have this year? I mean, if we
I know.
Everybody,
I'm not saying you shouldn't be mad, but you're often very surly. So if this is the version of you with patience, I'd hate to see the one without.
You know what, though? I've been a fan for a long time, and since 93, it's been a disaster. I mean, we've been fed so much, you know what, through, 25, 30 years, whatever it's been. And you get to the point where you're like, you know, City Limits has only watched a team for so many years. But I've put up with a lot of garbage from this team. And, you know, you start losing your patience because you know what the tune's going to be. Well, let's trade the contracts, you know, and let's just try to win for once. You know, nothing. Just give it a 2-year. Be the Marlins. Build up your lineup and trade everybody after 2 years, and I'll be happy. Win the World Series.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate the call, man. Stay well. How about that, Limits? Greg in Youngstown firing some shots.
Yeah, well, that's no different than any time that Greg typically calls. But Greg, completely okay with keeping players instead of a max exodus of players. No significant trade for Greg, which I agree with on the Keller front. I would be more willing to trade Santana or Bednar because they're not as big of pieces as Keller. But I don't want this guy in charge trading Mitch Keller, your biggest asset right now. I don't want to see it.
Right.
Because remember, when he first took over as GM, he's the one that traded Starling Marte for a bag of chips. The $250 chips that I spent.
Oh, forgot about that.
That's basically what Ben Cherington did. He acquired Peguero, who doesn't play, and Brendan Malone, who's out of baseball.
Yep. The trades have been horrible. I couldn't decide whether I wanted to say horrible or horrendous, so I said Horace.
Yeah, I have a problem with words as well sometimes.
It's Friday. All right, let's do one more phone call. Mark in Fort Lauderdale wants to talk about Bubba Chandler. What's up, Mark?
Hey, I'm actually in Indianapolis. I went to the ball game last night here, and I tell you, Bubba looks like he's ready for the show. Everything was moving well. His breaking ball was impressive and real good composure, and he faced a pretty good Tigers triple-A lineup. I mean, you had Kreider, who was a former big leaguer, Gage Workman. It wasn't like a bunch of nobodies with the Toledo ball club. So I think he's ready to go pretty soon.
Good stuff. I think you're right, Mark. I mean, I don't think it's too much longer. They need to see consecutive outings here. Get past the trade deadline. I think we'll see Bubba Chandler. I really hope so.
Another thing real quick. I know you've got a lot of calls, but Angel Cervantes, he didn't sign. He went to UCLA instead. The Pirates lost a second-round pick. I don't want to say that, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but, you know, the Pirates at this point, I mean, after grabbing Martinez in the first round, a high school kid, I was surprised they didn't go for a collegiate in the second round, that somebody who's closer to the major leagues. I mean, the Marlins drafted 12 guys that are out of college in this year's draft. And I just want to hear your thoughts on it and see what you had to say about it.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Gave my thoughts on Cervantes earlier. I mean, that is it. Look, the deadline's Monday at 5, so he might be posturing. If he signs, whatever. But if the end result is that he doesn't sign, that is not good at all for the Pirates. That is a very bad thing for them to have happen, given how much they need to build through the draft. So I am going to wait until Monday at 5 p.m. because he still can't sign, and maybe this is strategic or leverage. I don't think it is, but just to be truthful with that. And I'm not on the second part of that. Mark was saying, you know, draft somebody closer to the major leagues. No, I'm trying to get the most talent possible. I'm taking the best player available. I'm not one of those who takes issue with the Seth Hernandez pick because he's a high schooler. No, I want the guy with the ceiling. You don't draft for major league need in the major league draft. Absolutely not. If it lines up and you get college kids, that's great. You get Paul Skeens, that's the right pick. But I want the most talent possible. If they take a few more years, I'm fine with it. And hey, they could wind up being Connor Griffin. You never know. Connor Griffin was a pick that got ridiculed, and now all of a sudden he's the number one prospect in baseball at 19 years old, and he's going to be up here fairly soon. He should be in Altoona soon, by the way. Speaking of which, I think Ethan wants to trade Griffin. Going to take that call now. What's up, Ethan? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Jason, I respect you, man. You're doing good. I just have to ask you a question. Do you, yes or no, want to see them win with Paul Skeens in a Pirates uniform?
Yes.
Okay, then the only answer is to trade Connor Griffin. He's our most valuable person in the whole organization. you're going to literally rearrange the deck chairs by trading Tommy Pham and all those other no-names for other no-names. Mm-hmm. You need to give something to get something. If you want to win with Paul Skeens, you got to trade this bat for an actual bat instead of losing with Paul Skeens, letting Paul Skeens go to New York or L.A., and then we bring up Connor Griffin just so everyone forgets about Paul Skeens leaving. I'd rather see them win with Paul Skeens instead of wasting Paul Skeens and then bringing up Connor Griffin for the next era of Pirates baseball, which will just continue to lose. Thank you.
You got it. He's awful convicted for a take that's wrong.
Why can't Connor Griffin impact the major league lineup next year this time?
I have no idea. Why are you trading a bat for a bat? Trade a pitcher for a bat.
And what are you going to get for a guy right now that's a double-A prospect? Sure, he's the number one prospect in all of baseball, but what major league talent are you going to get for him?
Yeah, you might get something. I don't know.
You're going to get something, yeah. I mean, he's good, but I mean,
why would I trade I have the number one prospect in baseball who's a hitter. I'm a team that needs hitting. Why would I trade that?
And he's rapidly went through the minor leagues to the point where he should be in double-A now. There's a good chance he starts in double-A at the start of the year next year and is in Indy by like the middle of May.
I would rather them start Connor Griffin with the major league team next year than trade him. No, I agree with you. Like the reality is probably what you outlined. Like that's what they should do. But I'm just saying if you gave me those polar opposite things, I would rather have that happen. And welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. One more segment here before we sign off. Jason Mackey, Austin Bechtold in for the guys. Thanks so much for finding us. Make sure you check out the newest edition of Breaking Bread presented by Saloni's Italian Bread. It's on the 93.7 The Fan YouTube page. Jack Hillgrove went to Gianellis in Greensburg to chat with his grandfather. Bill talks about his long career as a broadcaster. And in a special segment found on Saloni's Instagram page, Bill reveals the former partner with whom he would like to be stranded on an island. A great watch there for sure. A couple more of your calls, and then Austin and I have a quick bit to do where we talk about fan hosts as roommates and where the disaster would be. But let's start with Joe in Verona, wants to talk about the Pirates. What's up, Joe?
Okay. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
First of all, we know Santana and Bernard. Now, we know the Yankees are desperate, and like one of your callers, too, calls back. You know, you don't want to build the Yankees or the Dodgers up more than they are. But just say we would trade them to that team. Okay, but we got to get somebody that can come in and be in our lineup as a hitter for both of them. And I don't trust Sherrington at all. He'll get a double-A player, and it's the same old where the minor league clubs that give all these to the Dodgers and the the Yankees, teams like that. And do not trade Keller. Keep him for next year. Go out, get two players next year, $15 million each. That's two. You spend some money. All this bull crap about trading this guy, all those, KP has to go and spam. But you just can't trade your nucleus, and Keller's a nice, solid pitcher. And I'm just tired of the Yankees and all that getting – this. And if you get him, they better get somebody, and Sherrington should not be here. And I'm so disgusted. And that guy, you said, have patience. 30 years, man, that's gone. And so I'm just venting to you guys, Jason. I've talked to you a few times, but they have to not give their best and go out and get two hitters next year and spend some money. And,
all right, Joe, thank you very much, man. I'm going to cut you in.
Right on.
I get you. We're in the repeats here. He said Bernard, KP, and Spam.
I think KP, he was trying to say IKF and got some letters mixed up. That was my guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who KP is. I got nothing.
Was he getting confused with KY, Kevin Young? Are they trading Kevin Young to a different
broadcast?
I don't
want to trade Kevin Young. I like Kevin Young. Spam, I'd get rid of Spam.
I don't like Spam.
Yeah. Bernard. It's like David Bednar and Eric Bedard combined, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I agree with him, though. Well, we're having fun, but I mean, he's echoing the same thing that we're talking about. Ben Cherington hasn't been trustworthy enough on the return. Harry and Plum wants to talk about the Pirates and trades. What's up, Harry?
Hi, Jason. I have a question here. O'Neill Cruz is going to be eligible for arbitration after this season. Number one, how much do you think he's going to be awarded? Number two, if they keep Keller and Hayes, and then have to pay a lot to Cruz, doesn't that rule out getting any significant free agent next year or anybody that's in a trade that might be earning a bit of money?
It better not. Thank you for the call, Harry. I appreciate it. to answer the questions, I mean, yes, O'Neill Cruz will enter his first year of arbitration this offseason. He's making $785,000 this year. I'd imagine that he gets, you know, $2-4 million, something like that. I don't think it's going to break the bank or be anything crazy, but he's going to get a raise. It shouldn't be prohibitive. You know, at the deadline, it wouldn't shock me if they trade Key Brian Hayes, and that would free up $7 million. So I don't think that is a consideration. I mean, obviously, you're talking about the Pirates and their spending habits, and their considerations that have existed for years, but I don't think they're unique to this season. All right, let's go to Tomcat and Mount Lebanon.
Before we do that, Jason, we have a trade.
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
And it doesn't involve the Pirates, but it could be a potential trade partner what would have been for Key Brian Hayes. According to Jeff Passan of ESPN, the Yankees are acquiring third baseman Ryan McMahon from the Colorado Rockies. So one destination that was pointed to as a potential Key Brian Hayes landing spot is now off the board. They have a third baseman, and it's McMahon.
Right as I was saying, trade Key Brian Hayes too. That's good.
So it would have to be somewhere else.
Yep. I think it still could be, but that's an interesting move. That's a good move by the Yankees. I can't criticize them for that. Loading up, Ryan McMahon is available. Good defensively. Can give you a little bit with the bat. Yeah, that could take a spot away from Key Brian Hayes. All right, couple more things to get to. Tomcat in Mount Lebanon, what's up?
Hi, Jason. I'm going to play armchair GM for about 60 seconds. First, I don't believe this roster is terrible or even bad. I think they're having a collectively terrible year, and I would not dismantle this team or even partially dismantle it. I would move the side pieces, but nothing major. First, I would approach IKF with the exact same deal he's on now to hold the seat until Griffin's ready, and then he becomes your utility guy.
He's not going to sign that, but go ahead.
I probably not, but I just think to move off of a roster that's just, I mean, if Reynolds just hit 250, if he was even decent, and if they had Gonzalez all year, if Horwitz is just a little bit more, if Cruz is a little bit more, all of a sudden this offense isn't so bad. And then just spend $15 million on one Brian Reynolds equivalent in the offseason and maybe move like Harrington and Ashcraft for...
Yeah. Hey, Tomcat, I'm going to stop you right there because we got to get to a break and a couple more things in the actual show. They're not going to rebuild. You're not going to see that. That's just that is coming from a place of being informed. They're not interested in rebuilding. And that's the case that Tomcat's making. And he's right. There's enough things there that you need to fix the offense. You need to add to it. You need to figure out how to get better in 2026, but we're not looking at a rebuild. But thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. A couple minutes early with this, the 50-minute mark on the fans brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. So you've probably seen online that Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf, they're sweet mates. They're sharing a bathroom. There's a funny story on Yahoo about when they can flush the toilet. It's apparently very, very loud. One of them texted the other saying, are you still awake? I've got to flush the toilet. I guess they're doing the whole like yellow, let it mellow, you know, brown, flush it down that Limits used to do back when he went to camp.
When I went to camp?
I don't know. Oh, I just made that up.
Sure.
So which two fan hosts would make the best roommates?
Honestly, I could see a lot of the pairings that are actually here. Like Doran and Crowley, I think would make good roommates. I think Pony and Mueller would make pretty good roommates. I think Joe and I would be decent at it. Joe and Bob would definitely be elite as well.
No, they would not. No, they would not.
I think so, yeah.
Really?
Bob and Joe, yes. I think so.
Be good roommates.
I think they'd be solid roommates.
I feel like they would annoy each other.
They would, but that just comes with the territory.
What would be the most combustible?
Probably Callis and Joe.
Yeah.
Maybe, actually, no.
I was thinking Pony and Joe.
Pony and Callis would definitely be number one.
Pony and Callis.
If Pony and Callis had to live together for a substantial amount of time.
Or maybe Dom and somebody, too. Dom is a you-know-what stir. That would be.
Maybe Dom and Doran.
Dom and Doran.
Dom and Bob, probably.
Dom would end up in multiple pieces.